Alrighty, let's do this thing on a really, really hot day here. I'm ready for the rain to come back. I know it means higher humidity, but man, it has been a scorcher here in southern Arizona. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Ed Alexander is with me, producing and engineering. Together, we welcome you to the show on this, the midweek edition. It's the 5th of August, 2015. We're coming to you from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We're live streaming at the station's fine website, kvoi.com, and on my website, buckmastershow.com, which is the place for all of our podcasts and our show archive. That's available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We'll get things rolling today with a newsmaker interview with State Senator Barbara McGuire, a Democrat representing the 8th Arizona Legislative District. She is a possible candidate for Congress in CD1. About 20 minutes past the hour today, we'll talk with Dr. David Levy, the world-renowned comet discoverer. And then at 12:30, Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter, will answer your health and wellness questions on our live line, which is now open for you anytime during the hour at 790-2040. And of course, our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Well, Arizona's first district, congressional district, is a sprawling, huge piece of real estate all the way from the Marana-Oro Valley area in the south up well into northern Arizona. And now there is an open seat because Democratic Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick is running for the U.S. Senate. So that means the seat is open. So who's in the race so far? On the Republican side, Gary Keeney, a Republican rancher and businessman who narrowly lost his first campaign for his party's first district nomination in 2012. He has announced, and so has former state Senate President Ken Bennett. Now, on the Democratic side, just yesterday, former state Senator Tom O'Halloran said that he would seek his party's nomination. So he's the first official Democratic candidate. But on our live line right now, State Senator Barbara McGuire, who formed her own exploratory committee in June, she joins us on the live line. Senator McGuire, how are you?
Better than I deserve, I assure you. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. Are you ready now here on the Buckmaster Show to make a big announcement for us?
No, I am, and I'm glad you clarified that I was a prospective candidate, not actually running. I am exploring to run, so I need to be very clear about that. I have a lot of unfinished business in the legislative district, and I still have some family members to confer with and issues to put to bed before I can actually make that kind of an announcement.
So how does this work, Senator McGuire? If you were to formally announce, just to clarify for our listeners, would you still then be able to fulfill your remaining term, your one more year, as a state senator?
Yes, I would. I would not have to. It's my understanding, based on the information I've been given and sought out, that I would not have to resign to run. I could retain my position. However, should I decide to declare my candidacy, I'm not so sure that would be in the best interest of pursuing this. Because as you know, it takes money to win one of these races. And you can't do that if you're not actively participating in fundraising. And it's a 10-hour-a-day job, 6 or 7 days a week, to raise that kind of money.
What do you think about Mr. O'Halloran? That's a name from the past for some of us who have been around a long time in Arizona.
Well, I really don't know Mr. O'Halloran that well, and so I really can't summarize him. Mm-hmm. And I think that that would be a good subject and a topic for you to take up on maybe one of your future shows.
Well, we certainly will be reaching out to Mr. O'Halloran. But let's talk about why you would even be exploring this. What issues do you feel very strongly about on the congressional level that you think would resonate with the people in a district that has so many different interests, doesn't it, Senator McGuire?
Oh, yeah. The fact that it's large and sprawling is kind of an understatement to all of the issues that that large sprawling area encompasses. Besides at a federal level, the Social Security and Medicare issues, another one for me is the border security, which I've been participating in from day one since it was made so well known with other folks such as my good friend Sheriff Paul Babu. Education is another area where we need to work on our natural resources. As you know, I come from mining country. I was born and raised in Arizona. I'm a native Arizonan. And the mining industry has provided for my family for many years. We can do these things with a balanced approach and not create environmental hazards and pollutions that wreak havoc. We need these natural resources, and our state is rich with them. These resources provide an economic engine that funnels millions of dollars through our state and into our state. So I'm very much an advocate for the natural resource industry. And our veterans, there's a lot of veterans issues. I'm watching on the news, I'm sure as everyone is, with regards to what's happening at the VA, at the hospitals, and the wait times are starting to be less. The services they're getting are starting to be improved upon, but there's room for improvement in that area. And our veterans deserve the very best. They've sacrificed so much for us. They and their families have, and they should be treated with respect and what's owed them when they return.
Barbara McGuire is with us. She is state senator in LD8, and I have not mentioned it, and I will do it now. You mentioned mining. You are from the Kearney, Arizona area, and so am I to assume that the controversial Superior copper mine is something that you are in favor of, Senator McGuire?
Yes, absolutely. Anything that's going to create jobs for this area is very much welcome. I worked really, really hard on that. In fact, I established a letter or wrote a letter and solicited it to the other senators at the Capitol, and had all but one of them, which wasn't available at the time, sign off on the letter supporting the Resolution Copper Mine. And again, like I said, it's very important, and I was really, really proud to see Senator McCain get that legislation through. And I worked along the way with Gosar and Kirkpatrick as well. So this has been a long time in coming and a long time overdue, and I look forward to the job that it's going to provide for this area.
Are you weeks away, is it safe to say, from a decision, or what's your timetable, Barbara?
Well, my timetable is going to depend on between now and the time I make the announcement as to the amount of revenue that I can raise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm meeting with people along the way and have a meeting coming up the 11th here in Tucson with about 300 folks. So it's going to depend on the support that I can muster. I've met with the DCCC folks. So I've talked with Emily's List people. It's going to take not only grassroots efforts, but it's going to take a lot of other organizations to prop this up and move it forward.
Okay, well, while I have you on the line here for the remaining couple of minutes, if you are not a candidate and you go back to Phoenix for the next legislative session, by the way, your colleague, State Senator Steve Farley, will be my guest here on the program on Friday. What's going to be the big issue, Senator McGuire? Is it going to be education funding in the new legislative session?
It appears that would be the case. But, you know, we also have water issues. We have some serious water issues. We're facing drought. Even though these monsoons that are hitting us with this type of moisture and rain that we're getting, you wouldn't think so. But our water resources are beginning to become depleted, and unless we find ways to conserve for future use, we're going to be hurting down the road. We're going to start. When I was a girl, when I was about 12 years old, I laughed at my mother when she told me we were in the store shopping. She said, "One day you're going to see bottled water being sold off these shelves." I said, "That's ridiculous. There's water fountains everywhere, you know." And lo and behold, it's happened. So I think for me, the water issues, the natural resource issues, along with education, are going to be some of the major topics that we tackle at the state legislature, whether I'm there or not.
You think JTED, that's the Joint Technological District here in Pima, which pretty much lost a lot of its funding, will that be reintroduced, do you think, to try to restore that funding? What do you think about that?
Yes, I'm hearing that it's in the works. And, you know, the JTEDs are very important. So we need to make sure that we restore that funding.
Okay, Barbara McGuire, so we will wait for your announcement. You are saying and have told us, and I certainly understand it, as our listeners do, I'm sure, it's pretty much about money. You got to raise money to run for Congress, so we'll see how that goes for you, and we do appreciate you being with us. Thanks a lot, Senator McGuire.
Thanks, Bill, and again, congratulations on your Hall of Fame award. That's phenomenal. You deserve it.
Thank you very much. Barbara McGuire with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line as we're now hitting here pretty much exactly on time today, right at 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our first break of the hour. Do want to remind you, call in if you have some questions, and I hope you will, for Jack Chalom. Jack's always a fun guest. He'll be coming along at 12:30. With your health and nutritional questions, 790-2040. Call in early. Lots of times folks wait to the end of the show, and we have trouble sometimes working you in. So I want to give you a little bit of fair warning, 15 minutes out to Jack Chalom. But next, he's the world-renowned comet discoverer, David Levy. That's next on Buckmaster.
My flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Out of this world music in the background, a little Star Trek music coming to you here to bump our way into the David Levy segment. David Levy will be joining us here and is on the live line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona. Dr. Levy, I'm going to do the full introduction today. He is the contributor to the Buckmaster Show on Science. He's the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's now head of and founder of, along with his lovely wife Wendy, of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. He is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. He's an Emmy Award-winning writer, author, and or editor of 35 books and other products. Dr. David Levy, I presume.
Well, hi. How are you? You're getting my emails now.
Yes, we had a little trouble communicating, but we have found a wonderful path to communication now on the email once again, David. So, how was upstate New York? Did you have good viewing for your summer camp up in the Adirondacks?
Well, we had a number of cloudy nights as we expected, but we had three or four really good nights. And when the sky is at its best, the sky is unbeatable there. It's about one of the darkest sets of sky that you could get in the entire United States. So we had a very, very good retreat this year, although the highlight of it was one cloudy day, Bastille Day, which was when we all watched the New Horizons spacecraft zip past Pluto. And it took a lot of pictures and then wouldn't send any. It's going to start sending them in September. We have a few good pictures, some very, very good pictures, but it was a very emotional time to see humanity's first visit to this farthest world in the solar system.
And for those folks who don't know about your connection to the planet Pluto, tell us about you. Well, I'll tell you, and then you can elaborate. You are the biographer for the gentleman who discovered Pluto.
Well, I am, and the interesting thing is that he said such, you know, it was we became such good friends at the end. It was very difficult. It was actually very, very difficult to try to appreciate him and to enjoy the man, because at the end of his life he was so certain that they were going to demote his planet, and he was right. He was just said that he hopes that it wouldn't happen while he was still alive. That was true. It didn't happen while he was still alive, but it did happen while his wife was still living.
Mm.
And so she got to to experience the really bad parts of Pluto being demoted. And I tried in the talk that I gave at the retreat to avoid all of the questions about the status of Pluto, but I could not.
Yeah, Clyde Tombaugh, that's the correct pronunciation.
Tombaugh,
who, of course, discovered Pluto right here in Arizona.
He discovered Pluto from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He spent most of the rest of his life in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and that's where I got really to be friendly with him.
How did it go for you at the International Space University, ISU?
Oh, that's just fantastic. The lecture was pretty lousy because I don't know how to give a lecture, Bill.
Oh, sure. You haven't done too many of them, I don't think, all over the world. But at the
end of the lecture, I had this lineup of people that wanted to talk with me, which took up much of the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And those people included two people, Rick Armstrong and Andy Aldrin. Their fathers were the first two people who walked on the moon.
Wow.
And we had dinner and a very exciting evening together.
With Neil, you're talking about Neil Armstrong's son?
Yes.
And Buzz Aldrin's
son. Buzz Aldrin I know very well.
Uh-huh.
And it's an interesting thing about Buzz because you mentioned that I used to write for Parade magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing an article where I wanted to quote from Buzz, but he kept on changing his quote. And he would call up, and I would be out of town, and he would talk to my wife, Wendy. And he'd say, I want to change this quote to this and change it to that. And he'd keep on calling and calling and finally leaving messages like, Wendy, Buzz. So I got home, and I'm wondering, Wendy, are you having a thing with Buzz or something? What's going on here?
Wendy and Buzz got to know each other pretty darn well.
They got to know each other better than I got.
Yeah,
to know
very a telephonic relationship there. We've got a really neat meteor shower that is waiting in the wings, don't we?
It's just a few days away. It's the Perseid meteor shower. I will be out there if the sky should clear, and I will be. You know, last night it looked really good, and then suddenly clouded over. But I will have my camera, and I will try to get some nice photographs of the meteor shower. So I'm hoping that this is going to work out. But, we can get better than 30 or 40 or 50 meteors per hour on the night of August the 12th.
Have you seen more than 50 anywhere in the world at one time in an hour?
I think people have. I've never seen that many,
no.
But... I have old eyes now, so I don't know.
David, this brings us to our monthly quote of the month from Dr. David Levy.
And the quote goes back to Clyde Tombaugh. You know, he was so emotional, and at the end of his life, he wanted so badly to stay at the place he loved, Lowell Observatory, but they fired him.
Mm.
And so my quote is from my own biography of Clyde. The telescope Tombaugh was finally about to leave, stayed at Lowell, his long career not nearly over. Years later, director Arthur Hoag claimed that with its many projects, the 13-inch should become one of the world's most productive telescopes. If it had consciousness, it might have wondered what would happen without the man it had shared a life with, a man who had never quite given up searching one more pair of plates for hidden treasure, a man who called himself merely a traveler, going over the next hill, with an eternal hope.
Mm, very nice quote.
Thank
from
you.
Your biography. David, is that available through Amazon or where, if people
it
are
is.
Interested?
I think it is.
With all this recently, talk about Pluto, it might, you would think that folks would probably like to learn more about the
yes,
discoverer.
It is available on Amazon and at skyandtelescope.com. It's a soft-covered book. I think it costs about $13 or
mm-hmm.
something like that. And it kind of is my take on the life of this very important man.
Well, you certainly have a lot of books available on Amazon. Ed had just pulled up one about, sharing the sky. You've got Sharing the Sky, A Parent's and
yes.
Teacher's Guide to Astronomy.
Yeah, that's one of them, and I really do enjoy that one. That's one of my favorites.
All right. David Levy, thank you very much, and we will talk to you again. I think through our email communication, we have set up our appointment with you for September.
Okay. I'll get back to you on that, but
okay.
We'll see you in September.
Thanks a lot. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. David is one of a couple of dozen regular contributors who come in And we thank them very much, either telephonically or in studio, to our fine facility here at KVOI. And one of those contributors is the very famous nutrition reporter who I'm looking at on the other side of the glass right now. His name is Jack Chalom, and Jack will be more than happy to answer over the next half hour your nutrition and wellness questions. So here's the number, 790-2040, 790-2040. Coming up now on the bottom of the hour, we'll be right back, another half hour on Buckmaster.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use Five Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're Five Star Pest Control. And we know what bugs you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Twelve thirty-three. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition of the 5th of August. 790-2040 is our lifeline number for your questions. for nutrition reporter Jack Chalom. Jack is the editor and publisher of The Nutrition Reporter. It's an independent newsletter that reports on vitamin, mineral, and food therapies, and really always contains, I have found it to always contain, a wealth of good nutrition-related material. And Jack Chalom is a personal nutrition coach. He's one of America's most trusted health writers. We're speaking with Dr. David Levy about how he lectures all over the world about astronomy. Well, Jack Chalom is no stranger to an airplane, and he gets on the plane and travels the world, talks about nutrition to groups really all over the place. He is a member of the American Society for Nutrition and is a best-selling author of more than 20 books, including The Inflammation Syndrome, and his latest book is called No More Fatigue. Jack, just back from very hot Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, believe it or not, Bill, it was actually hotter in Portland this past weekend than it was here.
I know it was over 103, and this is, of course, before our real hot weather this week set in, but last week it was hotter in Portland.
Yeah, it really was. So my son and I beat a hasty retreat to Astoria, right at the mouth of the Columbia River on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's really pretty there. Were any of the forest fires, was smoke in the air in the Portland area?
I did see a little bit one afternoon coming up. It looked like it was from the coastal range west of Portland.
You know, Jack, over the years, we've talked a lot about omega-3s. I take them myself. I take omega-3s. A couple of them in the morning, and I take a couple of them in in the evening. And I've been kind of putting also with them turmeric.
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 Yeah, a lot of people forget that first R.
Yeah, but anyway, I've been combining them because I have read that it's good with cutting down inflammation for, you know, sometimes a little bit of arthritic knee and things like that. And it seems, and I've been doing that at that new addition for about a month, it seems to have helped.
It's a great anti-inflammatory combination. And nutrients work synergistically. And the omega-3s will work on one biochemical pathway. Turmeric will work on, believe it or not, 97 different pathways. This was documented in a review paper published a few years ago. So in terms of natural anti-inflammatories, turmeric, also known as curcumin or turmeric extract, is really one of the heavy hitters.
Where does it come from originally? I've heard it's that folks that love Indian food get a little bit of it through that.
Yeah, turmeric root is a common ingredient in Southeast Asian cuisine, and that really extends from India to Thailand. And there have been some interesting epidemiological studies showing that people who have a high turmeric or curry intake, which has turmeric in it, have a lower risk of Alzheimer's disease. And that's interesting because there's a pretty clear link at this point between brain inflammation and Alzheimer's risk.
How about improving one's mood through if you have low omega-3s and you start taking omega-3, can it perhaps be a mood elevator?
Yeah, absolutely correct, Bill. You know, a lot of people forget that the same blood that flows through our heart and lungs also flows through our brains. Brains being really a collective use. It's all of us. The omega-3s have been shown in study after study to be helpful in depression, anxiety, ADHD. The latest study really confirmed some earlier work. This was done in Australia. It looked at the omega-3 levels in prisoners who had been incarcerated for violent crimes. And what they found was that the prisoners, and these were all men, the guys who had very low levels of omega-3s had more aggressive behavior, were more hostile. They were more emotionally manipulative. They had attention problems. And like I said, there have been a number of other studies showing that different types of criminal behavior are associated with low omega-3 levels.
And these researchers probably also looked at diet, didn't they? That the typical Western, your so-called Western-style diets usually don't contain a lot of fish.
No, they don't. And so the average level is low to begin with. You know, going back like 40-plus years, I took a sociology class on penology, and that included a couple of tours of prisons back in Illinois, where both you and I mm-hmm. grew up.
So you actually went behind bars?
Yeah, Cook County Jail and Stateville
okay.
Prison.
Yeah.
And the diets of prisoners are atrocious.
Mm.
And to this day,
they're given like, you know, like Wonder, I don't want to give a particular bread, but a lot of white bread.
A lot of white bread, refined institutional food. Really, all of this stuff is lacking in everything except refined carbohydrates, which don't provide much in the way of vitamins or minerals or omega-3s.
So you looked at the diet of the prisoners, and it probably hasn't improved all that much.
Probably hasn't improved, yeah.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you have any questions or comments about anything to do with nutrition, now is your excellent opportunity to talk with Jack Chalom. Folks, the men with the prostate issues, something we want to talk about coming up next. Jack, what can you tell us about dietary habits affecting the survival rate after a prostate cancer diagnosis?
This is interesting because so much of the research focuses on prevention and diets that correlate with a lower risk. This is a new Harvard study, really a 10-year follow-up study of physicians. And those who basically followed a Western-style diet, you know, again, refined foods, poor nutrient levels, they had a poor long-term survival, not just from prostate cancer, but dying of any cause over this 10-year period, compared with people who ate a more wholesome diet, more fruits and veggies, fish, chicken, whole grains, things of that sort.
So the prudent diet that emphasizes the vegetables, the fruits, the fish, legumes, and whole grains certainly looks like it would be more favorable for those who have had prostate issues.
Yeah, that's correct. And these dietary constituents really seem to slow the growth and reduce the risk of prostate cancer recurrence.
Again, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation with Jack Chalom. We're going to take a break here, but before we do, I want to tell everyone about one of my favorite places to get away from the southern Arizona heat, and that is over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. The difference is Tucson is great and everything. We love Tucson. It's the elevation here in Tucson's about 2,500 feet. So you go over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The elevation is 6,000 to 7,000 feet, and it really makes a difference in the summer. And Jack, I know you love exploring New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Lived in Santa Fe and Albuquerque for 10 years. I was actually up in Silver City in April. fun little town.
It is a historic downtown Silver City, a lot to do, and there's never a shortage of great places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins. You can check out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us on Thursday for our monthly showdown with Sean McCluskey and David Morales. Also, the building of the Vietnam Memorial, a lot more controversial than a lot of people think. We'll talk with the author of a new book. It's Buckmaster. We're on noon to one on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and then anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on the midweek edition, where it is now 12:47. We're speaking with Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter. We've been talking about omega-3s, but we're going to switch gears. And by the way, 790-2040, if you would like to call in with your nutrition question. Vitamin D levels. Can a low vitamin D level cause folks to feel the blues?
They can. And, you know, speaking of Oregon, this is a study that was done at Oregon Health.
Corvallis?
Corvallis, yeah. Uh-huh. Oregon State. Sometimes, Bill, it's hard to keep the ducks and the beavers separate.
Yes.
When it comes to Oregon.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're in Tucson, because I'd catch plenty of flack if we were in Oregon right now. Anyway, this was a study that looked at 185 women college students in the Northwest. 42% to 46% had marginal or outright deficiencies of vitamin D. And those deficiencies correlated with what the researchers termed clinically significant depressive symptoms.
Mm. And of course, people might joke about how the cloudy, rainy weather in Oregon up there makes people feel depressed, but apparently it could have a lot to do with your vitamin D level.
Yeah, and it's very true. Suicides do tend to spike there over the winter and spring when the vitamin D levels tend to be the lowest.
How do you get that checked? The vitamin D level.
Very simple blood test that your doctor can perform. If you go online, there's a nonprofit organization called the Vitamin D Council, and they offer a very simple vitamin D test. It's basically a finger prick method. You basically put a drop of blood on this material, you mail it in, and you will get the results back a couple of weeks later. It's about the simplest vitamin D test out there.
And if you are deficient and you are low, how do you get it in the intake and how much to improve the intake, higher intake?
Two approaches, really. One, just go out in the sun for up to 10 minutes a day. The other is to take vitamin D supplements if you're a little sun shy. 5,000 IU a day for people who tend to spend a lot of time indoors is a very good dose.
Has any research been done about what appears to be a safe level?
Glad you asked. This is a brand new study from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And what the doctors there did was look at more than 20,000 blood measurements of vitamin D. And they found some interesting things. One, a trend towards seniors taking higher and higher levels of vitamin D. And of all of these cases, more than 20,000, they only found one case they called clinical toxicity. And I have to tell you, this person was totally over the top in the amount of vitamin D she was taking.
How much was she taking?
Let's see. 50,000 IU of vitamin D plus 3,000 milligrams of capsule once daily for more than 3 months.
Mm.
And you can get by taking 50,000 IU, but I wouldn't do it for more than 3 days straight.
Wow. So that really did go a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
Is there anything to talk, about when we talk about fat and people talk about what's considered kind of the good fat and the bad fat, the overall fat, saturated fat, on and on it goes. What should we be thinking of when we think about what is considered good fat?
The omega-3s, olive oil, macadamia nut oil. What's changed over the last several decades is back in the 1970s, the public health recommendation was to cut back on dietary cholesterol and saturated fat. Well, it turns out there was very little evidence to support that at that time. And most of the push came from Dr. Ansel Keys at the University of Minnesota. Well, he had a powwow with then-Senator George McGovern, who was the head of the Senate Nutrition Committee. And that's where these recommendations for low-fat, high-carbohydrate diets came from. The consequence since then is basically epidemic levels of obesity, prediabetes, type 2 diabetes, and there have been a number of studies showing that there's really no relationship between saturated fat and heart disease. And the latest study was literally published 2 days ago in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And I'll just quote briefly the conclusion. The studies lacked the methodologic rigor to draw any conclusions regarding the effects of dietary cholesterol and cardiovascular disease risk. And so what the federal government is now shaping up to do is saying, let's get away from this whole fat phobia thing. And we've been focusing on the wrong thing, and the real problem is dietary sugar.
That's very interesting. So when we switched over to eating low fat, everything became low fat. You see it on the packaging, low fat, low fat. Really, the consequence of this has been enormous on the downside. And with, as you mentioned, the huge increase, now diabetes is an epidemic.
Yeah, and the switch was really, when you cut out the fat, what are you going to replace it with? And you replace it with refined sugars and other types of refined carbohydrates. And those are the things that actually boost cholesterol levels in the vast majority of people.
Hmm. And of course, you go into more in the more about the with the whole inflammation diet in your book, The Inflammation Syndrome.
Yeah, I do. And you know, an anti-inflammatory diet emphasizes veggies, fish, really good things, and minimizes the refined foods, which isn't to say you should never eat those things. I mean, we've got taste buds every now and then. A gelato tastes delicious. But for the most part, you know, when it comes to eating those things, you do it moderately or sparingly.
Been some interesting research that has been released about zinc lozenges. They've been used to reduce the symptoms of the common cold. The jury has pretty much been out on this, hasn't it?
You know, the research studies have been contradictory, and the most recent study published earlier this year really analyzed three previous studies with 199 subjects, and what they found that taking zinc lozenges, and they're most effective when you start taking them on the first day of symptoms, they decreased virtually every symptom of the common cold.
Hmm. Everything.
Everything. Across the board.
And you take how many usually to be effective?
One every 2 to 3 hours, waking hours. No need to get up in the middle of the night. But it's part of my sort of wintertime first aid kit, so to speak. And again, the key is you start immediately, and sometimes it's a false alarm, and you're not coming down with a cold, but it's one of those cases where it's better safe than sorry.
A lot has been said about protein drinks. I see here some of the research is saying about having a protein drink before going to bed could actually have some benefits.
Yeah, this was a study of young men, early 20s, who were enrolled in a 12-week resistance training program, basically weights, things of that sort. And half the subjects were given a high-protein drink, basically using milk or dairy protein. The other half were given a placebo drink. And both groups had increases in muscle mass, but the muscle mass and strength increased far more in the men consuming the protein drink before bed. And before bed is significant because that's the time overnight when the body is really healing and repairing damage.
Hmm. So as far as a protein drink, a lot of people say they're stay away from them because they're high in sugars and things like that. But
you do have to read the labels carefully because a lot of them do have a lot of sweeteners. Some don't have quite as much in the way of sweeteners. But if you're really working out, you need those extra sugars and carbs. Most of us aren't working out that vigorously.
Jack Chellum with us. Where can people find out more about your work?
NutritionReporter.com. I've got excerpts from my recent books there. I've got a year's worth of issues of the Nutrition Reporter newsletter, all free for the download.
One of the new supermarkets was quoting you, I saw. What was that about?
Natural Grocers.
Yeah, how are they doing?
They're doing great. Quick plug, they're opening their 100th store in Scottsdale in September, and I will be speaking at 3:30 in the afternoon, September 15th.
Okay, 3:30 on September 15th up at the 100th store for the Natural Grocers.
And it'll be on the north end of Scottsdale. You can Google it for the exact location.
Okay, but they seem to be obviously doing pretty well with 100 stores. And they've got now two in Tucson?
The second is opening at Orange Grove and Oracle in September.
They'll probably be calling upon you to do a talk over there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the Scottsdale talk is August 15th.
Said September.
Yeah.
All right, so it's August 15th, 3:30 in the afternoon up at the Scottsdale store. Okay, Jack Chalom, the Nutrition Reporter. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, our friend Mike Shaw is the host of that program, and then we'll be back tomorrow at 12:04 with the Buckmaster Show. We've got 3 hours, though, of local talk before Buckmaster coming up tomorrow. We've got 6 to 8. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, then the Daily Double from 8 to 9 with Chris DeSimone. So until tomorrow, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.